It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 96% always is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And it's daylight savings time has just happened, so it's like super early.
It's really, I mean, technically, this is like, it's like 9 o'clock, but I think it's daylight savings, so now it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, well, we usually do this at like 11 anyway.
Yeah.
If you had to do it early, and then you said,
for the girls.
Yeah, and you said, can we do it at 9? I was like, yeah, okay. And then I woke up, and 8 now was 9.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It's a real kick in the teeth to lose an entire hour while you sleep. It's awful.
Well, the point of this is like, it's supposed to be good. You're supposed to have like more daylight.
Yeah. But no, but it's like it's some German guy, like in like the 1912. That's what we have to like think for this. It's like a pointless thing. It's like not for farmers. Sense. It's not for anything. This daylight savings is like a pointless exercise we do.
Yeah, well,
as a species, like the whole planet's like, yeah, let's fuck around with our clocks.
The sunset keeps changing anyway.
Arbitrarily.
I mean, the sun is gonna set sooner in January than it will in November.
Right.
So we're not constantly adjusting the clock. All right, now we're 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we want the sun.
Yeah, we don't play those games.
Yeah, I was just listening to an old Paul F. Tompkins record on the way home. I had a show last night, so I sang for 6 hours. So now I have a really good radio voice. I had a friend who used to call this soothing voice.
Yeah.
And say that I should be doing like meditation tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. This is a good radio voice, actually.
It is.
And normally my voice is like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Not so, today.
No, but I was driving home and I was listening to a Paul F. Tompkins record and he had a bit about daylight savings time. He's like, why are people thrown by daylight savings time? It's like, people are like, oh man, I can't catch up. I have daylight savings time. It's like, did you time travel? Did you like, what has happened? Do I have a great bushy beard? Who is the president?
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, it's like nothing really changes except like the clocks and you lose an hour. But then
this means you have to be at work early.
That's what I'm saying. I just fuck off like an entire hour early. You're kidding me. It's not fun.
Yeah, so we'll be a little mellow this morning. This is a good radio voice coming up at the top of the hour. It's 28 degrees.
Yeah. You know, it's like you're not going to play anything crazy on the radio. It's just going to be nice, chill music.
It's going to be some nice, some jazz. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Here's little Miles Davis playing at the Copa. This is in 1976.
A lot of instrumental kind of stuff.
He was very, very angry at the audience.
Right.
So this will be kind of a news one. We realized... We're like, oh, here's another announcement. So it's going to be one of those where we jump from topic to topic. But I think the big thing we should talk about right now is that Disney has officially announced a fifth Indiana Jones.
Yeah, we were kind of waiting on this for a while.
We were waiting on this since Disney bought Lucasfilm because it was always kind of a rumor, and there were rumors that part of getting Harrison Ford to do Force Awakens was they had to agree to do Indiana Jones. And they have confirmed that Harrison Ford will be Indiana Jones because there were a lot of rumors about recasting.
Yeah, me and Elliot fought a lot about this.
Yeah, about
we thought it was going to be...
Chris Pratt or Bradley Cooper?
Chris Pratt. I don't really want Bradley Cooper, but Chris Pratt, I could see it.
I don't know. I like Chris Pratt, but...
He just can't pull off the intelligence.
He can't pull off the professor.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Chris Pratt teaching a class in the 30s.
Right. And like I said, I could be mistaken. Maybe he can surprise me. But
yeah, he certainly surprised me by Guardians of the Galaxy from Parks and Rec.
And I guess that's like I think he's just the closest we have to what would be a replacement, because I think, you know, who else do you use other than like an unknown guy at this point?
Right. But Harrison Ford is absolutely doing it, and Spielberg is directing it.
And George Lucas will be very far away from it.
Now, he will be as involved as he's been in Star Wars.
That's great news.
Yeah, so I think it's great.
And so this will be Disney that owns it?
Yeah. Just like it's Disney that owns Star Wars. So basically, when you buy Lucasfilm, you just get Indiana Jones. I have a friend.
That's a pretty sweet deal to buy Star Wars and get Indiana Jones for free.
Yeah, well, I have a friend who works at Diamond, works in the toy division. I keep asking him to come on, and he never does.
Yeah, he won't.
But he told me back in 2008, when Crystal Skull came out, and there was all this Indiana Jones product, and there hadn't been any in 20 years, so I bought everything.
Yeah.
And I asked him, like, hey, what was it? What was the process like to get the license? He goes, no, we already had it. He goes, basically, Lucasfilm sent a letter to everyone that had a Star Wars license and said, by the way, you also have Indiana Jones. There's a new movie. Go make some stuff.
Oh, wow.
So
it was like they basically were just like, open up the floodgates.
Yeah, it's always been part of the package.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see a ton of merchandise for this new movie, if any. But
yeah, I'm sure they'll do some. I can't imagine not doing like toys and stuff like that. But we literally know nothing else about this other than Disney's doing it. Spielberg's on board and Harrison Ford's on board.
Yeah, that's
now,
all we know.
Is Spielberg directing or?
Yeah, Spielberg is directing.
That's awesome.
So yeah, and with the two of them without Lucas. And
I know, I just keep thinking of Tintin, you know?
Yeah, Tintin was good. I heard the BFG was good, but it bombed. And
yeah, I saw the trailers and stuff for it, and I just didn't care.
Yeah, you know? Ben just read the book, so he wanted to see it because it was
it's based on a Roald Dahl.
It's
right?
A Roald Dahl, yeah, who wrote, of course, you know, Willy Wonka.
Yeah, he's famous for stuff.
He's famous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think there's a script in place yet, and that's been the hardest thing about Indiana Jones was getting the three of them to agree on scripts. And that's why Crystal Skull happened, because that was a script Lucas wanted to do.
Yeah, because he's an idiot.
And he wanted to do that in like 1994.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And basically, there were a lot of different versions. There was like one called Indiana Jones and the Monkey God. There was a really, really great script that Frank Darabont wrote.
Yeah. How do you know this?
Internet.
And if you,
I also love.
No, I know you love Indiana Jones,
movies, so every article I'll read.
Did you can read these scripts? Like, well, you read the scripts, or
I read the Frank Darabont script. Yeah, that was posted online, and it was great. It had a lot of Crystal Skull, but it had some really big things in it. There was a fight. There was going to be a fight on two planes where they would jump from wing to wing.
That's
of the
awesome.
Different planes and fight. Like Marion was in it. I think it didn't have a kid in it. It was a lot darker.
Yeah.
Like Indiana Jones was like drunk in the museum and smashing.
Oh, wow.
Smashing the exhibits of his own artifact because he was like old and bitter.
Yeah.
But there had been a lot of scripts between the early 90s and 2008 when Crystal Skull was finally made.
Right.
And the problem was they all wanted to do it, but Lucas was just like, it's aliens. And both of them didn't want to do
aliens.
A movie about aliens. And finally, they were just like, you know, we want to make this movie, so fine, we'll make your aliens.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody likes that movie, looking back.
Yeah, I mean, there's parts in that movie I like. I think if I am watching the other three, it's like, if I have time, I'll put on that fourth one. But it's like, he's great in it. He's, you know, he's charming.
I like
there's
the whole
good
opening.
Bits. The
I like
opening's
that
great.
Whole, the warehouse and the the fridge. I think the fridge is funny.
Oh, I think the fridge is terrible. And see, that's the thing. It's like the fridge and the chipmunk. I'm just like, fuck.
I have a Sideshow action figure that I paid well over $200 for.
Yeah.
That has it, Indiana Jones from Crystal Skull, and it comes with a fridge, and I got him in the fridge.
Yeah.
Because that's how much I like that.
Yeah, I hate that gag. I think it's a dumb idea, and I think it's like
totally unbelievable. I don't think it's any less believable than jumping out of a plane with
a
life raft.
Yeah, for some reason that doesn't bother me at all. But the fridge and the nuclear explosion and the flying around in the desert is just too much.
It's always going to be a little over the top.
Yeah.
Well, my problem with Indiana Jones is that Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite movie. Star Wars was my favorite movie. And then Empire Strikes Back was my favorite movie.
Yeah.
And then once I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars kind of took a back seat. And then I realized, looking back, the next Star Wars movie was Return of the Jedi, which isn't great and ended everything.
Yeah.
So I didn't spend a lot of time running around going like, Return of the Jedi, Jabba the Hutt, Speeder Brax. There was this feeling in my head, and I was a little older, obviously, by then. It had been 6 years. But I was like, I was like 11. And I was like, okay, I guess we're done with Star Wars now. And then but Indiana Jones kept going.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Temple of Doom was 84. And at that point, I was really into G.I. Joe and a bit into Transformers. And then, but then right on the horizon, Marvel and DC were going to take over my life.
Yeah.
So Star Wars had, basically, once I saw Raiders, Star Wars started fading.
Yeah.
And I'm still that way. Like, I saw all the prequels dubiously. I've enjoyed Force Awakens and Rogue One, but I'm never going to be the Star Wars fan I was. It's like, I was talking last night. We had a show. It's St. Patrick's Day, so we have shows constantly. But the guitar, there was a Doors song on, like, in between sets, and I was singing everywhere to it. My guitarist was like, yeah, I never really got into Doors. I was like, oh, no, I was 18. For 6 months, I was super into the Doors and never really went back. Now, when I hear a Doors song, I'm like, yeah, I know all the words to this, but I don't put on Doors albums.
Right, you don't go looking for it.
And that's how I feel about Star Wars to an extent, of like, this is something I loved at one point, and okay, it's still around, I can kind of revisit it. That's where the analogy breaks down, because the Doors are not still around.
Right.
Jim Morrison is not making any more albums.
Yeah, it's like with Star Wars, I'll watch the new movies when they come out in the theater, and if somebody has like the DVDs laying around at the store, I'll put them on. Indiana Jones is like, I'll bring it to work and be like, I'm watching all of these to work. Like, I've never, I don't even own the Star Wars DVDs, because it's like, I don't really care to. But Indiana Jones is one of those ones where it's like, I always want to at least have the option to watch this whenever I want. Right. And I think it's just like, from everything from like the background music, like, it's a thing I put on when I draw, just because it's that score, you can tell exactly where that movie's at and what they're doing just based on hearing it.
Yeah.
And Star Wars is good, but it's like Indiana Jones is like, it just hits this like perfect area of like adventure and humor and all these things. It's just like,
I once drove from Chicago to New York by myself in one trip.
Yeah.
And
that's a long drive too.
It was. I wasn't planning on it, but I was like halfway through Pennsylvania, and then I was like, 5 hours, I'll be back. So I just kept going. I just kept pulling over into gas stations and buying Red Bull.
Yeah.
But this was back when, before the iPhone really took hold, but it's when you had the video iPod. And back then, the apps weren't as segregated as they are now, so you could plug in a movie and listen to a movie in your car.
Yeah.
And I listened to all of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That's awesome.
And I didn't have to look at the movie once while I was driving.
You know where it's at, what's going on.
I knew every single moment, every beat of it. And I mean, that first movie, I think, is perfect. Every time I watch it, I'm like, there's not a single thing that goes wrong. Even the things that go wrong in it.
Yeah, are right.
Are right. Like Indy shooting the swordsman. That was supposed to be like a huge whip sword fight, but Harrison Ford had diarrhea.
Yeah.
Or the truck was supposed to completely flip over before it exploded and it landed on its side, but it looked so good that they kept, like, even things that went wrong made that movie a little bit better. And it's just this perfect tone of like comedy and horror and action and drama and romance. It's like every genre is in that movie at just the right amount. And the problem is with the other three sequels is that mix is never quite right.
Like, yeah, it's always a little unbalanced.
They always kind of, like, if you think of it as a mixing board, they always turn up one thing too much. So Temple of Doom has too much horror.
Yeah.
And then Last Crusade has too much comedy, which is why it's the one everyone likes best. I mean, you know, it's not as good as Raiders, but it's the best one because it's the most fun.
Exactly. And then, number two is a little short on fun when, you know, there's like child slavery and shit.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Temple of Doom is George Lucas was going through a really nasty divorce when he made that. And
wasn't Spielberg too? Or he was getting
Spielberg went
with...
through a big breakup, but he wasn't married. He was dating Amy Irving, who's like this actress who was like in some Dudley Moore movies, but she wasn't that big. But he actually met Kate Capshaw on the set, and they've been married for 20 years.
That's insane that he's still married to that girl.
Yeah.
She's super annoying in that movie.
In that movie, but in interviews, she seems like she's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure she's a fine person.
Those were character choices
she made. That character was awful.
But Spielberg, Lucas was divorcing the editor of Star Wars. His wife, Marsha Lucas, edited the first Star Wars.
Yeah.
And they said she had a lot to do with why that movie worked, and they were getting divorced, and then he immediately makes a movie where a man's beating heart is ripped out of his chest and shown to him. It's like, there's not a lot of layers of metaphor in this
right
movie.
It's George is not one for subtlety, I guess.
And there's a great documentary on the DVD set, which I think is carried over to the Blu-ray, where Spielberg's talking about it. He's like, George is going through a dark period. He's like, I was meeting my wife, I was in a totally different place.
Yeah.
So that movie has that weird And it's that weird contrast because you also have a little kid running around and
yeah.
there are really funny moments in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's stuff it gets right, as right as Raiders did. Short Round is a yeah. great character. It's
the card game is hilarious.
Yeah, that's...
The two of them arguing over the card game while she's running around from bats and snakes. Right. And
there's stuff in that movie that, like even that opening scene in the Japanese restaurant... Or the Chinese restaurant. That's one of my favorite scenes in all three movies, just because, like, the dinner jackets, the way they're passing the poison around. Like,
and it's a tribute to Casablanca, because he's even in the white jacket.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's a perfect little moment. And I think that's why I want, like, a fourth one so bad. It's, like, the third one, or I'm sorry, I want a fifth one so bad. It's because I think that fourth one is just kind of, like... There's good stuff in it, but by and large, it's a big hot mess. It's definitely the worst of the four. It's like if they end, they don't have to end on the greatest note ever for Indiana Jones, but if they're going to make one more, I want them to take another crack at it with Lucas out of the room just so we can see what like reasonable adults would make for a final Indiana Jones movie instead of like ants and aliens and dimension things.
Well, it's the same reason I'm disappointed that Peter Capaldi is not going to do a new season with Chris Chibnall as a showrunner.
Oh, because you like won't get to see him without Moffat.
Right. And that's the thing. And Moffat's somebody that I thought was great. I think he's run out of ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Capaldi's had such a struggle. That first season was not good. The second season was great.
Yeah.
And maybe this season will be the best of all because he is doing a full final season. But I wanted, and he's such a good doctor. I wanted to see him
for years
with a new showrunner who has a lot of energy and a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And we're not going to see that. But Indiana Jones, I wanted to see without Lucas bogging it down because it's like, it's not Star Wars Lucas that wrote Crystal Skull. It's Phantom Menace Lucas that wrote
Crystal
Skull.
I think that's the thing. Everyone gets all salty when you insult George Lucas. And it's like, he gave us Star Wars. And it's like, no. I mean, it's like, I'm not saying the guy didn't have good ideas or didn't make good movies back in the day, but I think there's a difference between he gave us Star Wars and it's like, no, 100,000 very talented, creative people gave us Star Wars. He maybe had a bigger thing to do with it initially.
He started it,
right. Yeah. But it's just like, you know, this is the guy that I don't think he loves Star Wars, and I don't think he loves Indiana Jones like the rest of us do for the reasons the rest of us do. I think it means one thing to him, and it means something completely different to us. And that's why when he came back to do prequels, they were just so dumb because it's like, you know, Jar Jar Binks, it's like no one would ever make Jar Jar Binks, but Lucas is like, yeah, he's the quirky little guy that they find to help out. And it's like,
it's odd when the creator doesn't quite get it.
Yeah.
But I also think that, that artists kind of have their moment, and which is kind of sad to say, but you know what? They don't let Stan Lee write Spider-Man anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about me and Stu were in the store, and there's this was a big deal when it came out. This particular collection isn't a big deal, but Stan Lee got to work on DC properties, and they did that. Just imagine,
all right, just imagine
Stan Lee does the DC universe. And we have the omnibus at the store, and Stu was flipping through, and he's like, is any of this stuff worth it? And I'm like, not really. I mean, the concepts weren't terrible, and they got a good creative teams to like work on the books, and they tried to do everybody. But it was just like, you know, that magic of, it's the same thing we've talked before on the show. It's like, Spider-Man isn't... Stan Lee didn't create Spider-Man, and it's just like Stan Lee and Steve Ditko created Spider-Man. It's and you know, and it's look at anything that any one of those guys on their own did, and it doesn't really hold up. And even stuff afterwards, you know, the 60s was like this prime time for the Fantastic Four and you know, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and all these different characters. And then decades later, Jack Kirby's trying to create stuff on his own, and it's good. He's coming up with visually cool ideas, but it's like the writing's not there. You know, Stanley's been trying to kickstart new characters for decades. He has nothing. You know, it's just like nothing, and nothing will ever come close to Spider-Man. But it's like the collaborative magic, I think, is there's a lot more to be said for that than I think people realize.
Yeah, well, it's like I always think of Stanley and Jack Kirby and Ditko like the Beatles.
Yeah.
Which was around the same time, obviously, is that when the Beatles broke up, they all made solo records.
Right.
And those records are very good.
I mean,
like Plastic Ono Band is great, and McCartney, and All Things Must Pass is a masterpiece, but none of them are Beatle records.
Right.
None of them are as good as Beatle records, and you won't hear those songs as often as you hear Beatle records. You hear those songs played by Beatle fans who were like, hey, do you know of the solo albums?
Right.
Like, there's a Live and Let Die or an Imagine in there, but you don't even hear Imagine as much as you'll hear Let It Be.
Right.
And that's the same thing as, like, people bring out the Creeper and Orion, because they're super into those characters. Like,
right.
Bruce Timm will bring in New Gods and Creeper. Because
he's obsessed with Kirby.
Yeah, but he'll bring them in way late. Oh, speaking of which, I bought your New Gods Artist Edition.
Yeah.
There's a special thank you to Bruce Timm in there. I think he owns some of those pages.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Because what is a guy who is really into Jack Kirby art? You know what I mean? Made a career out of being a guy that apes it, one of the better guys that apes it.
Right.
And then has, like, TV money. Of course he owns original artwork. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what rich guys do.
Yeah, what's great about him is that he apes it, but he hasn't made a career of aping it. Like, his style, Batman the Animated Series, is not a Kirby style, but he can kind of flex that muscle when he wants to.
Yeah, it's cool to see him because he's definitely the guy that can do... I think he does the best. Him and, like, Steve Rude really kind of, like, picked up that baton and ran with it.
We had,
but not without being their own guys.
I met Steve Rude at New York Comic Con when Ben was a little baby, and he became obsessed with Ben.
Yeah.
I don't think I've told the story on the podcast, but I have told you. So, like, we came by Saturday, and we got him to sign something, and Ben was in the Bjorn, and he was, like, one. We had a great time with him because, like, all the artists gave him special attention.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Mignola drew a Hellboy on a onesie.
That's
him,
awesome.
Which I wish I could find because I would just frame it.
Yeah.
But Steve Rude was like, wow, look at that's a cute baby. Look at that baby. And he like signed something. And then the next on Sunday, we went to a Kirby panel and it was like Steve Rude and Joe Sinnott and a few other people. And we walked in and from the day as he went, hey, there's that baby I was telling you about. Which meant that after
it's
we
been
left,
in his head.
He was stopping people going like, I saw this baby.
Right, which is like not a remarkable thing to happen, but you know, for Steve Rude, it was the highlight of the week.
Yeah, but that's my favorite Steve Rude story. But,
yeah.
And I love Steve Rude's stuff.
Yeah, he's great.
But yeah, but going back to Indiana Jones, there comes a time where these people need to let go of it. And I agree. I do think Spielberg and Harrison Ford love Indiana Jones more than Lucas did.
Yeah. And I think they get it more than Lucas did because, and that's the trick of it is like, you know, try to think, okay, you know, they have to set that movie at a certain time because just of what Harrison Ford looks like. So it's like, it's not going to be Nazis. Is it going to be communists again? Or is he going to be fighting? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
well, here's the interesting thing. By the time this comes out, which I think they said 2019.
Yeah.
It will be 11 years after Crystal Skull.
Oh, my God.
That's
really?
How long ago it was. Remember, Crystal Skull came out the same year as Dark Knight and Iron Man 1.
Oh, my God.
Which is one of the reasons it got kind of kicked around. Like, it made a ton of money.
Oh, for sure, yeah, but it's just
but
like...
But between those two films.
Yeah, those were huge movies, and they were better movies.
They were better movies.
Yeah.
So, not only, like... There were all these jokes at Crystal Skull. It's like, oh, Indiana Jones is going to be so old. He's 11 years older than that now.
And they're still going to be like, yeah, let's do it. Then he's going to do stunts and break his leg on a thing again.
Well, he keeps crashing his plane into things anyway.
Yeah.
He's on his own. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think the final decision in making this film was Force Awakens. Like I said, there's a rumor that that was part of his contract. Hey, if you want me to do Star Wars, which Harrison Ford doesn't love.
Yeah.
In the way that Lucas doesn't love Star Wars.
Yeah.
But he does love Indiana Jones. So he's like, do another one and we'll talk. I think the fact that he nailed it in.
Yeah. Because he didn't phone it in or something. I really thought.
And he looked fine running around with a gun and. Picking up Chewbacca's gun.
Yeah.
Which was the greatest piece of fan fiction that I never thought of.
It was hilarious.
I was like, I had those Kenner figures for 30 years, and I never thought, I'll put this gun over here.
Right. But I guess it just seems like, you know, and he hated Han Solo as a character, so I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, look, I'll do another Star Wars, but you have to kill me. Yeah. I can't keep doing this.
He wanted to not come back for Return of the Jedi.
He wanted him to be
He's
dead
He's like, look,
Empire.
I'm frozen, I'm dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It'd be cool to kind of see one more go at it and see what they can kind of come up with. It's just like, it's so early in the process, and Indiana Jones isn't like, it's not like comic books where, you know, I can kind of tell you with varying degrees of like certainty what the next couple Marvel movies look like. We kind of know what Guardians is going to be, or what they're leading up to with Thanos and the Infinity Stones and the background for the Collector and all these other guys that are, we're getting a lot of leaks now for, whatever. But it's like with Indiana Jones, it's just like there's nothing for it to be based on other than we know like a general time frame. We know what the movie, you know, the themes of the movie, or what the, you know, the kind of the general outline of the movie will be. But it's like, there's just nothing to go on yet. It's just kind of,
right.
It's all speculation.
It's interesting. I was having a conversation with Stu, who's been on the show a lot, on Facebook. When I posted it, he's like, nah, I don't want to see this. And, I was like, well, Lucas isn't involved. And
that really does to make a big difference.
And I was like, Harrison Ford nailed it in Force Awakens, so I don't worry about him being too old to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And obviously in Crystal Skull, one of the things they did right was play his age.
And that's, yeah, and I think even more so now, that's what we'll get is like the them playing with it. You know, you have to have fun with it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a little silly that this guy's this old and he's running around and,
yeah,
you know, climbing around on stuff and falling down hills, but it's just like that's part of the.
Well, and the solution in Crystal Skull was like to bring in Shia LaBeouf, who is now unemployable. So there's no way he's going to be in this thing.
Yeah, that would be the only thing I would be angry about if they cast that dude and they're like, yeah, we're going to bring him back.
Now the report is that Spielberg's mad at him because
he took
trashed.
A dump on it. Yeah, yeah, you
well,
can't
it was
do
also
it.
When he started to implode.
Right.
So he took a dump on everything, but Spielberg was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Because and remember, Spielberg gave that kid a career. He was a Nickelodeon star.
That's what
before
I'm saying.
Spielberg got him.
Spielberg was going to turn that kid into the next Tom Hanks. They were talking about
right because.
He was using him in everything.
People forget Spielberg produced at least the first Transformers and put Shia LaBeouf in Transformers.
Yeah.
And that was like the first big adult role he had. So he won't be a part of it. And then Stu was saying, yeah, but Crystal Skull with the monkeys and the swinging around and the CG, he's like, that was it for me. And I don't think they're going to do anything that's going to be better. And I said to him, I don't think you're wrong, but that's exactly how I felt about Star Wars before Force Awakens came out.
Yeah.
And with Force Awakens, it was all about bringing in this energy. I mean, it was bringing in a younger creative team that had grown up with Star Wars, which we're not getting in the director. We're getting the original director. But no one's going to say that Spielberg is not a great director anymore.
Yeah, and I guess
he's
that's...
He's not Stan Lee writing Spider-Man now.
Right. And I haven't seen any recent Spielberg movies that he's directed. I think Tintin was probably the last one, but I think it's something where it's just like, yeah, I agree that there is a time for, there's a lot of guys where you're just like, all right, you know, time to, you know, retire. Like Neil Adams is a good example. It's like every time I see a cover with him, I'm just like, oh, Neil.
Neil Adams has gotten more and more cartoony as he's gotten older too.
Yeah. And I think it's hard, you know, maybe especially with drawing, it's like you're so beholden to like physical, like how much detail your eyes can see, how much your hands respond to. I think directing is something you can do much longer just because it's like your tools are the camera and the technology is getting better.
And
I think
your tools are other people.
Exactly. And I think when drawing, you know, for a guy like, you know, like I said, with Neil Adams, it's just like probably one of the best comic book artists of all time, but it's like his age shows in his drawings.
Well, Kirby's another example. You look at his stuff from the 80s, like Superpowers or The Hunger Dogs. It's like, it's not.
Yeah. But then you got to remember this guy was like in his 60s or 70s when he was doing some of that stuff.
And that's where Neil Adams is now.
Right. And that's the thing. I think it's just like, especially for artists, there's, you know, there's a point where unfortunately and unavoidably you just start working your way downhill, you know. It's just like that's part of the territory,
age.
Yeah. And but I don't think that applies, I think, as much with directors, because I just think it's something where it's just like you're not limited by your physical abilities. And I think you know, arthritis in your hands or whatever bad eyesight, it's just like that's crippling for an artist,
right? Well, as you said, Spielberg's still making vital films. I started thinking about his contemporaries. People like Ridley Scott are still making really interesting films. We were just talking before we started recording about Alien Covenant, which Ridley Scott's going to do, and it'll be his third Alien film. And I did not enjoy Prometheus, but it was a very interesting movie.
Yeah, Ridley Scott is like a director I really like because I saw Gladiator when I was a young person, and like Godzilla, it's one of these movies that I'm like, it's a great movie. But I went to see the one he did where it was like Christian Bale was Moses.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It was awful. Yeah. It was a really bad movie. And I saw Noah. I think he did Noah. Oh, no. Noah was the one with Russell Crowe. I don't think that was Ridley Scott. That was somebody else.
Not Troy. Aaron. Troy was Brad Pitt.
Yeah, it was somebody. I can't remember. Maybe it was him.
But Aronofsky?
Aronofsky. That's the one. Oh, yeah, because he did Noah.
Aronofsky was supposed to do the Wolverine and dropped out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he had a problem with his visa or something. He had said he had a problem with like being in Japan that long, and then he was also signed to do...
To do Noah. Which is like, I don't know if you saw that movie. That was...
No.
He fights like rock trolls in that movie.
There was a genre of historical epics that were trying to ride on the Lord of the Rings of like, hey, we can take this program and make 10,000 people fighting each other. And I didn't see any of those.
Yeah. And yeah, it was they weren't great. But Ridley Scott's one of those guys. I saw Prometheus. I liked it. I'll see anything that guy makes just because at the very least, his visuals are like unbelievable.
Things I like about Prometheus. I didn't think it was a great script. And it didn't know what it wanted to be because it was. I remember while they were making it, they said, it's an alien prequel. And then they were like, it's actually not really an alien prequel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually about the alien space jockey, which is the corpse they find with the eggs. Oh, it's really about this. And, you know, and there's like a little bit of an alien at the end.
Yeah.
And it's, I just thought, I was disappointed because I was really looking forward to it. And then I saw the trailer for Alien Covenant. They showed it before Logan and before John Wick 2, which I saw, which I enjoyed a lot, actually.
I've heard nothing but good things about those movies.
It's not as good as the first one. The first one's great.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one's down and dirty. It's like a Dread kind of, like, it's just 80s revenge. It's totally violent. This one's a little more over the top.
Yeah.
Because they have more money and they go to Italy and fight people and there's a lot. But we went to see Get Out a couple weeks ago. This was before Logan opened because I was like, well, Logan's not playing, so what can we see?
Yeah.
And we went to see Get Out, but it had already been a tense week, and I'm like, I can't sit through a horror movie. I can't sit white-knuckled after I've been, like, dealing with stress at work and everywhere else. So we ended up going to John Wick 2, and that was fun. But they showed the trailer for Alien Covenant, and this looks like it's more of an alien movie. Like, it's got the girl from Fantastic Beasts
in okay. it.
Who looks like she's basically Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, it's like these movies, it's tricky because they paint themselves in a corner by doing like prequels. It's like we talked about like with Gotham, where it's like anytime you're taking a continuity and setting it before an established thing takes place, you immediately paint yourself into a corner. And
there's so much you can't do.
Right.
Because it's been done for the first time in those original ones.
And I think that's the problem with Prometheus is, like you said, it was... Build is this movie that was supposed to be the prequel to Alien. Then they backtracked and like, no, it's going to be different. And then they were like, no, it is a prequel to Alien, but how much of it is? And, you know, it's just like they kind of go back and forth and back and forth. And then it's tricky because then it's like you have a problem with like the stakes in the movie. It's just like if we know Alien has to take place, you know, they might kill every main character in this movie, but we know the aliens get defeated later because Sigourney Weaver is still alive or whatever. And, you know, it's just like a tricky thing to do. I don't mind them doing it, but it's. I don't think that's an easy thing to do is try to play around with the timeline as far as like when movies take place. Oh, we're going to do a prequel 30 years later to a movie that came out 30 years ago. It's like,
yeah, Aliens, I think, is that. I feel like they haven't painted much of that mythology. When the spine of Aliens is just like, there are these aliens that are from another planet that will just kill all of us if they can get here. And this is how they work. You know, they impregnate you. A queen makes an egg and the egg impregnates you and then the alien rips out of you. But that's kind of it. Like, we've never had – there have been a lot of rumors and I think there were scripts written. We've never had a movie that went to the alien's planet. We don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
Because an alien, they're on a ship. The space jockey's on a ship. In Aliens, it's a colony that Earth has gone to.
Right.
Alien 3, it's like a space station that's a prison. And then Alien 4, they almost get to Earth. So like Alien 4 is like more Earth-centric. And then Alien vs. Predator just breaks the goddamn franchise.
Yeah, and it's just like, any of those kind of like horror movies do kind of run off the rails the more they do of them.
Yeah, horror movies especially, because I think we were talking about this last week with Elliot, is like, in horror movies, you have to kill the monster at the end.
Yeah.
Because Because you keep thinking you've killed the monster and then the monster comes back.
Right.
So you have to absolutely kill the monster to tell people that the movie is over.
Right.
So then that next movie comes around, they're like, all right, this monster's really dead.
Yeah.
And my favorite example, I think I mentioned it yesterday, Nightmare on Elm Street 4. Somebody has a dream they're in a junkyard where Freddy's bones were buried in 3, and a dog pisses fire on them and Freddy comes back.
Yeah.
Or Planet of the Apes, where in that second Planet of the Apes movie, they blow up the Earth.
Right.
Yeah, like cobbling that together is much harder than, like, I feel like sci-fi and superhero movies especially, because superhero movies are based on periodicals.
Yeah.
So superhero movies are not designed to end. In fact, people still have problems with the superhero movies where they've killed the villain.
Right.
Like, I still don't like that Jack Nicholson dies in Batman.
Yeah, it bothers me, because yeah. I always think in my head, it's like, well, he's got to be in Arkham Asylum, because he's got to break out, because they have these right. year-long fights.
And even knowing we're only going to get one more Tim Burton Batman movie, and it's going to get rebooted, there's no time to bring the Joker back, it still bothers me that he's not in, and Penguin as well.
Yeah.
Penguin dies, too. But horror movies, there's a finality to every one of them. So there's not a ton of mythology in Alien to play with. So you could kind of do whatever you want. But then there's still the tropes of like, okay, we have to see a facehugger. We have to see a chestburster.
Yeah.
You know, we have to see the alien hit somebody in the head with their tongue. There's kind of these tropes we have to go to.
It's like you got to check off the boxes on the list. That's kind of what I was saying about Indiana Jones is, you know, we know kind of – all right, it's going to take place in like the 1950s, maybe the 1960s.
At this point, it's got to be the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like it's brushing up on that James Bond territory.
Up on Vietnam.
Right, he's going to be chasing after artifacts, or there'll be a MacGuffin or whatever you call it. It's like there's a couple different set pieces you kind of know, you know, to do a thing with snakes. It's like...
he'll have a hat.
Yeah, you know, it's just like you kind of got to check off your boxes. But yeah, it just seems like... I'm excited they're doing it. I want them to do it. It's kind of like we were talking about Wolverine very recently because it just came out. Is, you know, I kind of like these like send-offs and that's it and we're done. And I don't want them to keep going with Indiana Jones. It's like I think one more.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't want to see two or three more.
That's a good point. This could very well be the end. They didn't announce a trilogy.
Right.
You know, Harrison Ford is definitely getting up there. This announcement also proves we don't want to reboot Indiana Jones. We want to keep Harrison Ford and Spielberg. And that's, that's the interesting thing about Indiana Jones. We were talking about this when they were talking about recasting is he's one of the very, very few icons that doesn't come from another media. And has never been played by anybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, that it was designed to be the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. They didn't make a comic. They didn't make a book. There wasn't a TV show.
Yeah.
So the only version of Indiana Jones we've ever really had is Harrison Ford. There was the Young Indiana Jones television show.
Yeah.
Which didn't work.
Right. But I think in a lot of that, it's all based on this one guy. Unlike anything else. I don't really know anything else like it that... is at this like level.
No, because how many Batmans have we had? How many Supermans? Right. How many James Bonds? We've had 3 Spider-Mans.
Right. And even, like we've you had said, stuff with
13
like,
Doctor Whos.
You know, it's like with Wolverine. You know, Hugh Jackman's the only live actor to play Wolverine. No one else has done it in live action to that height. And it's just like, well, they'll recast it at some point. And yeah, because
we've already had Wolverine in cartoons and comics and
all this other stuff.
And video games. There have been a lot of different interpretations. Hugh Jackman's right. been the only film one.
Exactly. But I think it's something where it's just like, that won't be true forever. And they might recast Indiana Jones and maybe we'll get, you know, an unknown actor, you know, to play him in years from now. But it just seems like that they're... I don't know anything else where you're playing a human guy. Do you know what I'm saying? In the sense of like you're playing Harrison Ford or playing Indiana Jones.
And look at there are other media with Indiana Jones, but they all came out of that movie.
Right.
They didn't go into the movie. But everything, like every comic you see, which isn't very often, and the video games, they all look like Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
That nobody's gone like, okay, this is kind of just an animated interpretation. I have long lobbied for an Indiana Jones animated series. When Clone Wars took off, I was like, why aren't we doing Indiana Jones?
Right.
And there were these beautiful cells that Sideshow did, which were, I don't think they were Sean Cheeks Galloway, but they were in that style of like those Hellboy animated movies of Indiana Jones, and they look incredible. And
yeah.
But they still look like Harrison Ford.
There's an artist, I think Dave found him and turned me on to this guy. His name's Des Taylor, and I think he's a French guy. And he did, he does a lot of, like, pulpy, animated, it's like a mix between, like, the Fleischers, Superman, Bruce Timm, and then, like, this guy's own style. And he would do a lot of Indiana Jones stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was basically, they looked like animation cells from, like, an Indiana Jones cartoon that never was. And they look phenomenal.
There's a fan that made, like, a minute trailer for an Indiana Jones animated series.
Oh, yeah?
That's beautiful. It's on YouTube.
That's awesome.
I'll post it. But we've never had anything else. So, yeah, I agree. And you just put this thought in my head. I had not thought of it before. What if this movie is Indiana Jones' Logan?
What if this movie is
about ending Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, then that's, I guess, what I'm saying when, you know, you're talking with Stu or I was talking with guys at the shop about it. It's like, I want to see one more. I think they can really give us a great Indiana Jones movie. And I want it to kind of be the end. I don't need it. Just because, like I said, if they have an ending for it, it's more pure if it's a Harrison Ford doing it than if it's 30 years from now and there's another guy that played Indiana Jones a bunch and then he did the last Indiana Jones movie. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it would be like if Tom Hardy did the last Mad Max. And right. Not just another Mad Max.
Yeah, and yeah. It's like I said, I wouldn't mind them recasting it at some point, bringing in a younger guy and doing the further adventures of Indiana Jones in the 30s. I you'll have my money until the end of time, but do the last one, do it with Harrison Ford and kind of wrap it up, you know? I think it'd be nice to see, you know, I don't know if they're going to try to bring, like, Short Round back or what they're going to do as far as other characters from other movies or if they're going to introduce new characters or, but I definitely want to see where it's going to go, and I really, really am glad that they're going to give us one more.
I agree with you. I would love this to be the only one. And when Crystal Skull came out, had it worked. Had it worked, I could see them doing a trilogy. Had they done a trilogy, it would be over now. Because as we said, Crystal Skull came out the same year as Iron Man. We've had a trilogy of Iron Man movies.
Right.
Just divorced from the rest of Marvel. There are three Iron Man movies. We could have had that. But now it's too late. I don't think we're going to get two, three more. You know, Harrison Ford, there's no spoilers at this point. It's goddamn Force Awakens. Harrison Ford was killed in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Like, he was in that, but he wasn't going to be in all three of them.
Right, and I think that's the thing, is it's like, it's kind of, as soon as I thought about it, the more it makes sense. It's like, this is going to be it. They're not, like you said, they were talking about how old he was in the last one, and I remember them saying the thing that they used to, like, sell him as still being able to play Indiana Jones, like, they're like, he still fits in the same pants. You know, his pant size is the same as it was from, like, you know, Last Crusade or whatever. And it's like, okay, so he's in decent shape. Like, the guy can do it. And then, you know, he got hurt on Star Wars. He crashed his plane on the golf course, and he almost hit another guy. It's like, same thing. It's like, there's only so many more years I want to see him.
Right.
As Indiana Jones before, it's just like, oh, okay, you need to retire, you know, not as an actor, but that character, you know, you can't be 70 and running around as Indiana Jones.
Right.
You know, it's it works for a little bit.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what we have 2 years before it comes out. So we'll see what information we're getting as it goes along.
I'm sure we'll do a trailer as soon as we see a teaser.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be casting decisions as it goes along, and there'll be rumors about the script. We won't know anything. A title will come out, but we'll get drips.
Do you think we'll have a teaser by when the Han Solo movie comes out in this winter? That's too early, right?
That would be really, really smart. I could see them doing one of those teasers that doesn't really have footage in it.
Yeah.
Which is what they did originally with Crystal Skull, was most of that first trailer were clips from the first three.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, remember how much you love this character?
He's coming
back.
Here's
another one. And they showed like two clips of the warehouse scene, which is the best scene in that movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be super, super smart. And that's an interesting thing. We're recasting Han Solo and we're not recasting Indiana Jones.
Not yet. And I really do think it might be years and years and years from now when Harrison Ford's long gone and they're like, okay, well, now that, you know, 30 years have passed, we can reintroduce Indiana Jones. And I don't think it's I think it's inevitable that it will get recast. I just think it'll be, it won't be for a minute, or it'll happen if when Harrison Ford's no longer with us.
Now we'll get a new Wolverine before we get a new Indiana Jones.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But you know, let's take action icons that are returning. Serendipitous. I actually didn't know about this until this weekend. The first episode of the new Samurai Jack premiered last night. I knew it was coming, and I had posted about it, but I didn't realize it would be this weekend. So it comes out the same week that we find out there's a new Indiana Jones, which is another beloved action character. The show premiered 15 years ago. It's been a long time. I think it's been 10 years since we've had a new Samurai Jack, because Jenny Tartakovsky did his Clone Wars series after Samurai Jack. He did the two Hotel Transylvanias. He's been busy.
Yeah.
But we haven't had Samurai Jack in a long, long time. And you and I watched the first episode this morning.
Yeah, Samurai Jack's weird. I didn't like it when I was a kid. I hated it. And I think it was just because the art was so different, and I was just like, it's terrible. And I was an idiot and obviously didn't know what I was talking about. But I went back to it when it was on Netflix, because everyone at the shop was talking about it, the guys. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I just like fell in love with the show. But it's been off Netflix for a long time. I've only seen it at the store, so I've missed a lot of it. So even, I don't know if I've seen every episode. I don't remember how it ended. I think there was just a lot of stuff I missed because I only watched it at the store. And But what I've seen I've loved. Like I said, there's nothing else that really looks like it. The story's great. You can't really beat that dude who plays Aku, and it coming back. And I know they're kind of, you know, the animation's very similar. I mean, it is later in the future, and they've kind of done. It feels like same thing. I've only seen it briefly, but like Avatar The Last Airbender took that break and then came back, and it was like, okay, here's X amount of years in the future. Here's how things are different, but here's how things are the same, and here's the group of new characters we're going to follow around. And that's kind of what this feels like, where, you know, spoilers, I guess, Samurai Jack's got this like long beard. He doesn't have a sword. He's wearing armor instead of the kimono or whatever they call that. And then instead of just being like a guy walking around with a sword, he's like driving like a motorcycle with all these like guns, and it's awesome. I mean, it's like that opening sequence of like him driving around fighting all those like crab monsters was great. You know, it's just like it's the same guy that does Cage, right? The comic. He's doing that Luke Cage comic.
Oh, yeah, Jim Krakowski did do Cage. That took him forever, too.
Yeah, one of those he pitched it years ago.
And I think he stalled like in like the second or third issue.
Yeah.
But as I said, he's been busy. Like
he's doing all this other stuff. Yeah, it's not like this guy's sitting around on his hands. But I think it's, you know, when the Netflix show helped push that out, I think that's why that book was coming out now. It was like they're finally like, well, we need a Luke Cage miniseries. But the guy's just got a really awesome style, and he's one of those dudes that it's like instantly recognizable as his. And there's not there's a lot of people you could say that about, but there's very few people that where it's just like I'm sure people who know a lot more about this stuff than I do can pull out that guy's influences and be like, okay, I see this in there, I see this in there, I see this in there. But it just, to me, it just seems like this like fresh new take in animation. Like I don't really know anything else like it, and that's probably coming from ignorance more than anything else, but it's like it's such a visually great show. It's just like there's nothing else really like it that I've seen.
Yeah, I thought this episode was like stepping into an old pair of shoes. The thing about Samurai Jack, you and I were discussing this, I don't know that either one of us has seen the entire series. It's a very hard series to know if you've completed it, because all the episodes are just numbered. I owned the DVDs for a long time, and when you pull up the menu of the DVDs, it's just different pictures of Samurai Jack, and you're just like, I don't know. And you get 5 minutes into an episode, and you go, oh, yeah, I have seen this.
Right.
So I literally don't know if I've seen them all or not. I've owned the DVDs for 10 years, and I may not have finished the series. But this new episode just felt like the next episode, which was great.
Yeah.
And because this is a story that everyone's wanted wrapped up for the longest time, because the premise is that Samurai Jack has been sent through time into the future, where Aku has taken over everything, and all he wants to do is defeat Aku and go home.
Yeah.
And this show ended, and there was no resolution to that. And I believe that's what this show is going to do.
Yeah.
Also, it's on Adult Swim this time. It's not part of the normal Cartoon Network run, so they're not showing it during the day. So it's a little more violent.
Yeah, it was surprising. You see guys get, like, their arrows shot through their heads or whatever.
And there's blood. There was never blood on the old show.
Yeah, it was always, like, black ooze or oil. Or
robots. And there is that. Because those crab robots come back and, like, Jack destroys them, and black ooze does come out of those.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not changed for that sake.
Right.
But yeah, they are pushing it a little bit. And there is a darkness to his character, which there wasn't before. He was
like hopeful and stuff. And this is like very weary and haggard. And
yeah, well, they've said it 50 years in the future. And as you said, he's got long hair. He's got a beard. He's just like, he's a lot darker.
And he's not aging. So it's like, and he's having like flashbacks to stuff that happened, so it's
yeah, like people he couldn't help. He's seeing the ghosts of people.
Yeah, there's like the scene in the river. You walked out of the room because of the kids, and there's the scene in the river, and then like all these like zombie hands are coming up, and it was a cool visual, but it was like horrifying. It was like really dark, and I love that stuff. And it just, but it's the same thing like Indiana Jones. This should be it for Samurai Jack. This should be the creator coming back and wrapping up the whole story and ending it in a season or whatever and just calling it.
I feel like it is, because it took them so long to come back to
right.
it. And that was one of the things that disappointed me about when they brought the X-Files back last year, which I really enjoyed. And there were 6 episodes of that. I thought 2 were amazing. 2 were okay, and 2 were garbage, which is a decent batting average. But the problem was they brought that series back after 10 years, and they ended it on a cliffhanger. And it did well. They're coming back for a second season, but it's been a year, and they haven't done that second season yet because they don't know when everyone's going to be available. And I'm like, don't bring it back and not resolve things.
Right.
Don't leave me hanging up in the air the same way I was hanging up in the air by the first one.
Yeah, because what if it's another 2 or 3 years before you can bring it back? And by that point, the creative team's moved on and they can't use the same ideas. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, and the actors of age are not in the same place anymore.
Yeah.
So it's...
It's just hard to... It's hard to do that and assume you're going to get a second shot at stuff.
Yeah, I have a confidence that this is going to wrap things up. But
yeah.
Also because... We get the beginning of a story arc in this episode, which we've never had before, because there's this whole subplot about these 7 daughters of Aku that are being trained to be assassins to kill Samurai Jack. And it ends just kind of on the cliffhanger of them going out to get Jack. We've never had that.
Yeah.
They've always been these self-contained stories, which were always about him helping people in the future, him learning about the future, him trying to get home and failing, or him attacking Aku and not succeeding. But they always kind of just went back to zero every time. It was kind of anthologized.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've ever seen them introduce a subplot that will obviously pay off later.
Right.
So I do feel like this is going to be a miniseries. And there was a lot of talk about how many episodes it was. I feel like it's going to be 6, but that may have changed.
Yeah, 6 seems – it doesn't seem like enough, just because these are like 20-minute episodes. You know what I mean? They're cartoons, so it's like, yeah, maybe we'll get a half-hour episode.
Well, they talked about it being a movie for the longest time.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So maybe they just kind of stretched out a movie from, you know, the 2.5 hours to like 6 hours.
And well, 3 hours really if it's a half an hour show.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I could see it being that, but I was surprised by how little had changed. The technology updated a little bit. I thought it was funny when they went to widescreen, which is what they used to do when they went letterbox, because the show is now widescreen. The original show was 3x4 because we hadn't quite hit the HD transition when it started.
15 years ago.
Yeah. So that was, you know, the animation's a little better. It's a little cleaner.
Yeah.
But stylistically.
But it's still that style. And it's like, I think that's what I'll say about that showrunner particularly is the, you know, he introduces a villain in this episode. And there was more going on with this villain in the 5 minutes or 10 minutes he was on the screen than villains you see in, I mean, almost like, everyone this side of like Loki in the Marvel universe, the cinematic universe, the villains are very boring.
Yeah.
They don't give them much to do. They cast really good guys as the villains. I really like Lee Pace. He didn't do anything as Ronan. I really like James Spader. He didn't have much to do as Ultron. You know, Benicio del Toro is the Collector. I really like. He got to do a little bit. He was a little quirky.
He gets one scene, really.
Yeah, and we'll see what Jeff Goldblum's going to do in Thor, but it's like there's just so many like little ticks and layers and little details that they put into all the characters on Samurai Jack. It's like the Scotsman with the, you know, the funny leg in the on the bridge scene.
I love that one.
It was stuff like that was just like that's what I'm saying. It's like the characters, the design, the look, and the little details that makes them just seem a lot more.
Yeah, and there was a great new character in this one. There was
that's what I said, the guy with like the flute, the robot guy.
Yeah, there was an assassin robot who talked like Sammy Davis Jr. because that's, I forgot that's such a part of Samurai Jack, is this sense of humor which almost doesn't fit the tone of the show.
But it works.
Yep.
Totally. It's like I totally buy these characters completely. I'm completely bought in.
Yeah. It just felt right.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like...
It's not like they missed a beat, you know? It's like they really just stepped right back into the
group. It
didn't
feel like a reunion. It felt like just more Samurai Jack. And it made me forget how much I loved it. Because, you know, there's a lot of these franchises, and you try to keep up with everything that people say are good.
Yeah, it's impossible.
But you have your favorites, and the other ones kind of fall by the wayside. And Samurai Jack is always one of those, I appreciated it. I bought the DVDs. I didn't really do much thinking about it.
Yeah.
But when it came back, I was like, oh, yeah, everything about this is good.
Yeah.
And
it's like Planet of the Apes, the movies. It's like a franchise I completely forget they're doing. And then when a new comes up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I love this thing. This is awesome. We should watch this constantly. Like,
yeah. And when they're good, it's just rewarding in that way.
Yeah.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
So I don't think we've touched on this on the show because it kind of just happened. We may have talked about this, but the first couple photos from Thor Ragnarok have come out. Like they've done set photos, they've done promo photos.
Yeah, so Entertainment Weekly had a spread.
Yeah.
We posted it on our Facebook page and you can go see it.
That's
there.
Where I saw them. And, you know, we watched the Doctor Strange previews from the DVD you got, the Blu-ray. And that was really cool, like a 10-minute preview of what's coming. But Thor's the movie I always look forward to the most and I always am the most excited for because it's, I think, the franchise, out of all the Avengers stuff they're doing, Thor's my favorite, but it's the weakest one. Yeah. But I want it to be so good. And it seems like every time I see this promo stuff, I think maybe this time they're going to get it right. And so we saw Thor with his short haircut, which a lot of people are not happy about.
Right. Although somebody brought up, was it Copiel?
Yeah.
Short hair.
And that look is so close to what they're doing in the movie, I wouldn't be surprised if he got a kind of a, hey, we're going to get him a shorter haircut in the movies,
right,
make the comic look more like the movies.
I think so for Chris Hemsworth, they just took off his wig.
Yeah, he's now have to wear this like long, ridiculous thing. Yeah. And it looks good. I don't mind Thor with a short haircut, just like I don't mind my Thor being a frog or a goat person.
Or a girl.
Yeah, or a girl. It's like, do you have a hammer? Oh, fantastic. So he looks really cool. Hela, they're showing, and they're saying that Hela will actually be Death. That's the death that Thanos is interested in. She'll be like the embodiment of death.
Oh, interesting.
So it'll tie that together.
So it won't be just that skull in a robe.
Which right.
Which is in the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, it'll be a more hopefully interesting character. And then they showed like a Valkyrie.
Oh, that's interesting because then you can have James Brolin and Cate Blanchett together because Cate Blanchett's playing Hela.
Yeah, and I think because they want to simplify everything. This is why like Baldur's not in the Thor movies because it's like, what do we need another guy for when the Warriors 3 barely get any attention?
Right.
You know, so...
I didn't see any pictures of Sif. I don't know if Jamie Alexander's
in I think that's what we were talking about. There's so much going on in this movie.
She's got that crazy tattoo show going on, so she might not even be available.
Oh, yeah. My dad loves that show. He's like, it's great. And I'm like, this looks terrible.
I like looking at her, but I'm not going to watch.
There should
show.
Be as many of her as possible. But I think what they're doing with this movie, from at least all the visuals, and Jeff Goldblum is like the greatest thing I've seen because he's all Jeff Goldblum-y with his bullshit collector getup. But they're going a lot brighter, it seems. Like the colors, Thor even had like very brighter blues and reds in his costume. I think they don't know what to do with Thor. I think they have a really hard time with that character, and I think Guardians of the Galaxy worked so well.
I think
they were like push
that.
Thor more into like
and
goofy
there's,
space
there's
stuff.
Plenty of precedent for Thor going into space.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
The comics, but you're right. Guardians of the Galaxy was a huge hit. Thor was not a huge hit. Thor is a comic that kind of struggles on its own. I mean, everybody points to Kirby and Simonson, and then they kind of stop talking.
Thor, I always feel is like. Fantastic Four. It's a very difficult book to get right, but when you get it right, it fires on all cylinders. But it's been done few and far between. And that's what I'm kind of just hoping, is I think that this movie will be their, if it's the last Thor movie, it'll be their actual shot to give us the movie I've kind of been waiting for since that first Thor movie. He's going to wear his hat. And this is more, Hulk's going to be in it.
Well, I got a haircut. Gladiator needs a hat now.
Yeah, you got to put the thing on. It's just like, I'm very excited. Yeah,
we're getting Planet Hulk in it.
I know. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait. That's the one between that, Guardians, and Spider-Man. That's the one I'm most excited for.
I'm most looking forward to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm reading a new book called The Comedians by Cliff Nesteroff. And I found out about this through other podcasts, because there are other podcasts.
Yeah, I've noticed.
But he was on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast. I believe he was on Mark Maron's podcast. But he wrote this history of comedy that goes all the way back to vaudeville. And I had it on my Amazon wish list for Christmas, and it ended up not being a thing I got. And this week had been really crazy. My wife was in China. So I had
China,
and work was really busy. So I had to leave work early to pick up the boys, but then I would have to work when I came home. So I always had my laptop on me, and I was reading this other book, called Sick in the Head by Judd Apatow, which is interviews with the comedians, and it's a 400 page hardcover book. Like, so to run back and forth in the city with the laptop and the book was getting irritating.
Yeah.
So I saw that the comedians was on Amazon right now. It is $18 for the hardcover, $12 for the paperback, and $2 for the Kindle.
Bing.
I haven't read a Kindle book in years.
Yeah.
So I bought it, and I was running around, and I left my iPad at home. And I was like, all right, I'll look it on my phone, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to be awful. But then I'll get home, and I'll can read it. And actually, this is the first time I've read a Kindle on a phone, and I have a 6, which is not that small. It's not nearly as big as the Plus or the 7.
Yeah.
But it was really easy to read. And I find I've been reading this book everywhere.
Yeah.
Like I was online at Chick-fil-A and I read 5 pages.
Yeah.
I'm late to this. I've been very into Audible, so I can listen to a book.
Right.
But it's really good. And the book itself is fantastic. So far I'm on chapter 3, which the first chapter is vaudeville. Second chapter is radio.
Yeah.
And this chapter is nightclubs. And I'm learning.
So it's just like chronological or whatever.
Chronological of what the era is. I'm sure we're going to have a television chapter and
yeah.
an improv chapter and a feature film chapter. But he focuses more on the era, and then everybody is involved in it. So like the vaudeville chapter is not about the Marx Brothers, but they have a huge role to play.
Yeah.
But then he brings in all these comedians you have never heard of.
Right.
Where it's like, this guy was very big in this era and didn't
cross over.
And then
that was it.
Yeah, because there's a whole section where he talks about the Catskills, and he mentions all of these names, which sounds like you made them up.
Yeah.
Like they're all like Shecky Lewis, like these guys. And where he says, these guys only played the Catskills. They never did television. They didn't want to.
Yeah.
They didn't go on the road. They made a great living here. And he paints this whole picture. And the nightclub chapter is terrifying because it's all about the mob.
Yeah.
It's all about these comedians who like heckled the wrong guy and got his throat cut.
Jesus.
Like all these true stories in Chicago, because that's what'll happen.
That's to you. Yeah. Ooh, hometown. Yay.
It's fantastic. I cannot put this down, which is why it makes the Kindle even nicer, because while I'm like boiling pasta for the kids, I'm holding my phone and reading more and more. And I was disappointed that there was no Audible of this book. But I'm finding I don't need it. So I think I'm going to be doing a lot more Kindle. And I have an iPad mini, which I can just switch over to.
Yeah.
So that's the nice thing about the Kindle, is that it'll save your place no matter what device you're reading it on. So I was reading it on my phone, got home, put down my phone, picked up the iPad, and it went right to that page.
Because it's all like through your account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though it's reformatted from a small screen to a big screen, it knows where you were, because it doesn't go page by page.
That's awesome.
But I'm really enjoying it, and I definitely recommend it. So if you want to talk about what you're into, if you're excited about Indiana Jones, if you're excited about Thor, if you're excited about Samurai Jack, about all of these things that are coming back that hit other people, you can talk to us. You can follow me at Not On My Book on Twitter. Send me a direct message. I pretty much always reply because I like attention.
You're good at that.
Yeah, I like to feel that people, if people want to talk to me, I want to talk to them. You can follow us on Facebook. That's where we post things like the pictures of Thor and the trailer for Samurai Jack a couple weeks ago. That's facebook.com/caffeinatedcomics. Or you can listen to us if you're listening to us now. However you listen to us, you can follow us on iTunes. You can subscribe. You can subscribe on Stitcher. If you want to find an old episode that you can't find on iTunes or Stitcher, go to caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com and you can get every episode for free, which will be for free forever.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to 2012. And Steven?
You can find me at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!